Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is State of Emergency.
Let's go get them, Josh.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Bree and Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Monday. We are recording Monday morning because the Grammys were last night, and we made the mistake last week of being like, no, we're not going to record after the Oscars because nothing crazy is going to happen. And then something crazy happened. So then we were like, let's record after the Grammys just in case somebody slapped somebody, but nobody did. And it was just a very normal show, but we're still going to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, it was the right call. Since what happened last week, it was like, well, we just banked on nothing happening, which we can't do. So we switched it for this and are recording in the morning so that we could talk about the Grammys. And honestly, well, we'll get into it. Nothing too crazy. I felt like it was a very normal Grammys. Yeah, there was no slap. There were jokes about the slap, but there was nothing, of course, to that caliber of viral moment.
There definitely was not. But before we get into the Grammys, how was everyone's weekend?
I had a lovely weekend. I'll go first.
Yeah, go for it.
My weekend was good. Fun. I went to a Y2K birthday party and got to wear the Juicy tracksuit that Juicy sent us for all those couple years back that they put our names on. Remember those ones?
Yes.
Yeah. I got to finally like actually wear it to something, and it was great. Had a lot of fun. You know, when, and it's like not true, but like it is true. You know, when you were little and you'd be in the car and your mom would have like her radio station on. And whatever, it's like 80s or disco or whatever. And like, she'd turn it up and be like, oh, this is really when music was just the best.
Yeah.
I caught myself thinking that for like Hillary Duff's Metamorphosis album, like listening to it at this party. We just had solely like early 2000s music. And I just caught myself thinking like, damn, this music was good. And I was just like, it's just, anybody's going to feel that way about the music that they grew up on. But Hillary Duff's Metamorphosis album is actually just way more iconic than I think people give it credit for. We listen to a lot of it.
Also, music now is really just not as good. Like I think people would agree. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily because we are older now or what it is, but there hasn't been a song recently where I'm like, this song is fucking amazing. Like, I, you know, like songs are good, but I just feel like there's nothing really jumping out to me lately.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. And I do think, cause we're also coming off watching the Grammys because the Grammys were a little delayed this year, it felt like a lot of the songs that were nominated and performed were ones we've just heard so many times that it's like waiting for something new. And there were new songs performed and whatnot. We actually didn't talk about the Harry Styles song because it came out before we recorded on Friday.
Right. We didn't talk about that. People have been asking me and I've been ignoring it. Not my favorite. But I know that it'll grow on me. Like, I know I'll end up listening to it a bunch of times and liking it, but not my favorite right off the bat.
Yeah, it's grown on me. It's grown on me a lot already, honestly. Like, I've been singing it to myself and I don't even really know the words. I just know the chorus. I've just been singing. I was actually singing it to myself on walking to work this morning. It has a very catchy, like when it goes to like the bell part where it's like the jingle and the chorus and the bells, it's very catchy. And he never fails with his music videos, regardless of the song. The music video is always good.
Yeah. And TikTok, obviously now it's like used as a sound. So the more you hear it, then you start, you know what I mean? Like I've been hearing it so much. So I'm like, oh, maybe I do kind of like it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. It's just one first song.
My weekend, I didn't do anything at all. Like, like not a single thing. I can't name one thing that I did. Besides that's nice. Sleep.
Any TV? Nothing? Not
no, I actually didn't even watch TV. Like, wow. I don't know what I did. I did nothing.
I started
the definition of nothing.
I started The Girl from Plainville.
Oh, wait. I watched The Girl from Plainville.
Oh.
I watched that last night, too.
Hey, look at us. We all watched.
I think I watched that Friday night. And I think I forgot about that. But I did watch all three episodes.
I know. I watched all three episodes yesterday. Noah, did you watch all three episodes or did you just start?
I watched all three last night.
Oh, guys, look at us go.
Weirdly enough, this story has always been so, so interesting to me. Like, I remember the documentary on HBO, I Love You Now Die. It explained the whole story. But I've always been so intrigued by this story because you see all the messages. Like, I feel like sometimes with stories like this, you don't see everything, right? Like you just hear about it, but with this, you see everything. And it's like so fucked up. You're just like, how did this happen? How did this girl literally tell this kid to kill himself? Like it's so insane. Like if you, it seriously makes my brain like explode. I'm like, how did this happen?
I know. And it has like, I feel like there have been shows, fictional shows like made about this topic, and it's interesting that of course like a show like this is also dramatized, like things are enhanced and whatnot to make it into a show, but she is, Elle Fanning is great. I will say I like it. I'm gonna watch the rest of it, but like the when they don't do, and now literally no show does anymore. Like when they don't do it like a linear storyline and they jump back and forth and the actors and actresses like look the same. I'm like, when is this happening? Like what? Like there was multiple times I feel like I was watching from the first three episodes where I was like, wait, is this 2 years ago? Was this 6 months ago? Is this right now? Like, I can't tell like what time period this is. Like it's a couple times with the friend Susie, like I was like, wait, is this happening right now? Is this how long ago was this? Like I felt like the timeline seemed jumbled. Other than that, I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also something the most creepy part of it is the or so far was her like pretending to be Lea Michele.
Yeah.
And the whole Glee thing. And then like when you remember that she like wanted to be Corey Monteith and Lea Michele. And it's just a very bizarre story. Like it really is just one of those that you really just like, how did this happen? But Elle Fanning looks so much like her in this show.
Yeah, she really does.
They really got the eyebrows down.
She really does. It was very well cast. And so far, she's doing a very good job. And I love Elle Fanning. Have you ever watched The Great?
No.
Great show.
Elle Fanning once beat me out in two roles.
Oh, so do you not watch her stuff?
No, I'm kidding. I like Elle Fanning a lot. But that is true.
I didn't know if that was going to tee up, like, so I can't watch her stuff.
No, it was Super 8 and then also... Sophia, you know, Francis Coppola, obviously.
Yes.
Sophia Coppola made a movie once or multiple movies.
Yeah.
But I'm forgetting the name of it. Now it's going to bother me.
Elle Fanning, and it's been like a, you know, I think, you know, either Golden Globe or Emmy or both nominated show. The Great, it's on Hulu also. It's her and Nicholas Hoult. And that's a great show if you've ever watched. It's like the Russian monarchy satire. And it's very, very good. And Nicholas Hoult is also really good in it.
The movie was called Somewhere, just in case people were wondering.
Oh, Somewhere. Okay.
Somewhere, directed by Sofia Coppola. And, you know.
And you weren't cast in either of them.
And I was not cast in that because Elle Fanning got the role. And I remember when we found out that Elle Fanning got it. And my dad was like, well, of course Elle Fanning got it. Like, we were just like, obviously Elle Fanning's going to get the part.
Yeah. Whatever. You got to imagine if Elle Fanning's auditioning for something, the odds are pretty good.
Right. They're pretty much in her favor. So,
yeah. Yeah. Still, so we'll definitely keep watching. Yeah, definitely. We're going to for sure keep watching that. So maybe we can keep talking about it if people, because I know I saw a lot of people on social talking about it. Oh, one more TV quick. I finished Bridgerton season 2. This season blue balled you all the way to the end. It was, I don't want to like fully give anything away. So
I did respond to your story. I called you a horn dog.
Yes, you did. If you have not finished Bridgerton, don't listen to me right now. If you have not finished Bridgerton, I'll say it again. If you have not finished Bridgerton season 2, don't listen to me. Rhea's not going to watch, so I don't care if I spoil anything for her. It was a big, like, are they actually going to do it? Noah keeps pointing at the mic. Do you see him? He's going like this.
Sorry.
Too.
I'm sorry.
And they like pull each other and their faces, like the, you know, the big dramatic moments where they're like heavy breathing and it's like, oh my God, just fucking make out already. Like what's happening? Happened for maybe 3 episodes in a row, like in the middle of the season, multiple separate times where it was like, what are we doing here? Like Bridgerton, you had the formula. Everybody loved it. Everyone was like, oh, joking, calling it soft porn. But guess what? Everyone watched it. And now it was just like it dragged out all the way to the end. And then weirdly, like the last 2 minutes of the show was like a heavy sex scene. It was like nudity, sex scene between the two couple. But it was like just at the end. It's like bloop. 2 seconds, up, movie's over. I mean, show's over. Like, it was very bizarre. I don't know what.
Why did they not go the formula of the first season, which everyone was obsessed with?
I know. I guess they wanted to change it up and obviously give like a unique storyline to the two main characters. I liked the actress a lot, Simone Ashley. I thought she was great. The character of Kate was a little frustrating at times. I got what they were trying to do, but it was a little frustrating at times. It was still good. Like I still enjoyed it. It was just not as good as the first season, different vibes and weirdly structured.
Maybe they thought that if they kept everyone on their toes like that, it's like, oh, well, we have to keep watching because we need to see if they ever have sex.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They made everyone watch all 8 episodes because it really was only until the end of the show.
The very end, yeah.
And then it felt like misplaced. Like then it felt like, oh, well, now we're just like throwing this in here to throw it in there. Like at that point, just don't put it in.
Yeah, that makes sense. I liked Bridgerton, but I didn't love it as much as everyone else did.
I also and feel I, like you're just not a big, like, what's the genre that I like historical?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're mm-hmm. not like, something piece. Why am I thinking of, why can't I think of the, period piece.
Period. Yeah. Yeah.
You're not really, that's never really been your cup of tea. I fucking love a period piece.
I know. I wish my mind could expand like that. And I wish I could enjoy a period piece. Unfortunately, I don't that much. So I liked it, but I wasn't
totally fine.
I wasn't obsessed with it like everyone else was. And I thought there was something wrong with me. Like I'd look in the mirror and be like, why don't you love Bridgerton as much as everyone else, Rhea? Why don't you love it as much as everyone else? And you know what? Sometimes you just can't lie to yourself. And so I didn't really have a desire to watch the second season.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
And after you talking about it, it didn't sell me on it. That's for sure.
No, like it was good, but there are shows where I have watched and I know like you're not that interested, but I push you because I want you to watch it. This one, it's okay.
You're not going to push.
I'm not going to push. All right, you can skip cool. This one.
Thanks. Sounds good. All right. Let's get into the Grammys. And we also have an awesome interview with Craig Conover, who I, for some reason, have such a hard time pronouncing his last name. It's one of the easiest last names out there, and I can't get it out of my mouth. I don't know why.
I don't know either.
It was actually a really, really great interview. Very funny. We talked a lot about Summer House, Southern Charm.
And yeah, we did tease on Friday that Austin was going to be here. He did bail.
Oh, yeah. Austin bailed on us, and Craig had a statement. Craig had a statement from Austin.
On
why he was not there, which I thought was good. So let's get into it. Starting off the Grammys.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Last night was the Grammys. We're going to start off talking about the red carpet, and then we'll go into the show. You know, I wasn't blown away.
What? Underwhelmed.
Was not blown away by the red carpet. I don't know what's going on. No looks to me were like, wow, that's my favorite look ever.
I know.
Everyone was kind of blah. I'm going to go to the Chicks in the Office account because we posted a lot of the looks on there. And by we, I mean, Devin posted a lot of looks on there. And we can just start from the beginning of where it was posted. Doja Cat. Doja Cat might have been
my favorite.
Yeah, she might have been the best of the night. I really loved the color. I loved the dress.
NFL Grammys.
Her accessories. I liked her hair. Everything about it, I really loved on Doja Cat. So now that I'm looking at it, I think Doja Cat might have been the best.
Yeah.
Then we had Olivia Rodrigo, which had very mixed reactions, I think, for Olivia Rodrigo. Wasn't my personal favorite. I didn't hate it. It felt very punk rock princess to me.
I agree. It fit her brand.
Pop princess. You know that song?
I don't think so.
Yes, you do. Come on. It's from the early 2000s by Click Five.
I do love Click Five.
Oh, now I'm going to have to play it.
Can you play a second of it?
Yeah. You know this, Fran. I know you do.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. You don't even have to play anymore. Yes, I do. Sometimes I need the sound to play.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got. I also got like Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, it 100% fit her brand. So it made sense. I get why she wore something like that. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It fit beautifully. It was well tailored. Sometimes I just feel like you have to find a little bit of an in between when you're that kind of like trying to have like that little pop punk princess vibe where it's like, okay, go with the dress and the gloves and then maybe like a different kind of jewelry. When she, the dress and the gloves with the chokers, it just kind of like felt a little too much. But I mean, she's 19. She's supposed to have fun and wear what, you know, what she wants to wear. And she definitely said Olivia Rodrigo, I felt like.
Yeah. Then we had Addison Rae and Omar Fetty, and
you know, you can't knock Young Love.
No. I have no problem with
them. No. I know. I'm even just talking about like their red carpet look. Like it was like, but yeah, you know, Young Love.
Yeah, I thought it was cute. I thought that she clearly really loves him. He really loves her.
Yeah.
The dress was very, very casual. Like
I liked her Oscar like Vanity Fair party look way better.
This dress had adjustable straps. Like this dress actually is the same exact dress I wore to my sister's bridal shower, but it was pink.
Right. Like unfortunately that dress looks like a dress you could get at Zara.
Right.
Which it's is so no classy. Knock at Zara, because I wear Zara all the time. It's just like nobody gave me Grammys.
Yeah, nobody gave Grammys. Halsey was there, and she actually just had surgery a couple days ago, which I think is impressive because that really sucks. She had endometriosis surgery, and then now she's on a red carpet.
I love the hat. I know mixed reviews on the hat. I loved the hat.
I like the hat. I think it's different. Billie Eilish, I feel like, was just Billie Eilish. Like, she wore this, you know, black dress and this, I don't even know what to describe, this jacket. Like, sometimes I don't even know what to describe the things that celebrities wear. Sometimes.
I
know.
I liked her hair. I liked the shades. And it's just, I mean, it's Billie, right? Like, I have just not a single, that's Billie's style. No knock.
Lil Nas X, I actually really liked his outfit. I liked the butterfly on the chest.
I did too.
I thought the whole thing was really cool.
It was very remnant of that Balmain dress that Kim K wore years ago. Remember that one? The mini dress? Yeah. Very similar.
I feel like Carrie Underwood always wears the same thing, but in different colors.
And I love Carrie Underwood. And I think, like, that was Grammys. It was huge. It was princess, ball gown. Like, it felt very Grammys for someone like Carrie Underwood. I just didn't like the colors.
I don't like the
colors.
Like,
I loved
either.
The silhouette and the structure. I didn't love the colors.
Yeah, not my favorite.
Sound like old ladies. I'm like,
we were complaining about everything they wore. Dua Lipa showed up. She was wearing Versace.
Yeah. This is a classic.
I thought it was cool. Like,
it's a classic.
It was very different, like the chains and the locks and all that.
I felt like a classic cool. Versace bondage dress.
Yes. And her hair is blonde now.
Yes.
Which I actually really like when her hair is. I mean, she pulls off both colors so well. Like, I love her really dark hair and I love her really blonde hair.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber. I hate this from Justin Bieber. Why not just wear something fucking cool? Like, I don't understand this. I know. People will be like, that's awesome. Like, I don't get it. What is the point of wearing that? And Hailey Bieber has the best street style out of anybody on the planet. But every time she steps on a red carpet, gives us nothing. Like, I'm feeling passionate because I love Hailey Bieber so much.
Yeah.
And she's like a style icon to me. Like, everything she wears, I'm like, I need to wear that. But every time she gets on a red carpet, I'm like, how come I'm not obsessed with what she's wearing on a red carpet, but I'm obsessed with what she's wearing in her day-to-day life. Like, her day-to-day lifestyle is so much better than the red carpet. Now I get it. This is like, it's just this moment at the Grammys. She wanted to wear something simple. So I think she looked absolutely beautiful. Of course. Like, stunning. She looked angelic.
Always. She looked absolutely angelic. But it's another
so
one where
angelic,
it's like,
but it was like,
it's the Grammys and it was boring.
It was very, very boring. And
I don't know what Justin is doing, by the way. Like, those big ass suit situation, like where they just look like a box. I think he was in like all Balenciaga. It's just like, it's too much. What does crack me up though is when he walks these carpets sometimes and he's with Haley, he wears these massive shoes. Like, did you see the shoes he had on?
Yeah.
Those things must weigh 5 pounds each. Like, it was a massive heel, a massive boot. Like, I get it. It goes with the look. But I'm like, what? This whole thing, head to toe. A lot of pink, though. I did like the pink beanie. And a lot of guys had a lot of guys had pink on.
Like, Justin Bieber is so hot that sometimes I think he's like, how can I make myself look less hot? And then he'll wear something that just makes no sense at all. And this was one of those times. Like, why wear this when you could have just worn something very classic with the pink beanie and look hot as fuck? He still looks hot, but it just makes no sense. And also we got Courtney and Travis.
I liked, once again, in black, obviously. I liked her. I liked this look better than what we got from Oscars, I will say, from Courtney.
I thought that Courtney looked great. I agree. Travis was also wearing like this pink jacket blazer thing. I liked that pop of pink. And I don't know, besides that.
I know there's a couple that I did. Lady Gaga, I liked. She went full like old Hollywood glam for basically felt like the whole show. I really liked SZA's dress. I thought her dress was really cool. I don't know if you saw, I was watching the E red carpet, and I don't really know much about Giveon. He was doing his interview with Laverne Cox, and he was in a full Chanel suit, and just, it was so cool. Like, I keep looking at this picture of him, and I'm like, he looks so cool. I loved it. I just, yeah, nothing really like jumped out at me. Like, it, like you were saying with Olivia, like Avril Lavigne was at the Grammys as well and was also dressed in a very Avril Lavigne way. A lot of the guys had good looks. I felt like they were Grammys. They were fun. They were different, but I don't know what it was about some of the ladies. I was just hoping for something that wowed me. Like, I didn't feel wowed by anything.
We were hoping for Grammys and we got Fundraiser.
Yeah. I didn't feel like I got wowed, honestly. Yeah. So
now, what did you think of the show itself?
The show itself, you know me, I'm easily pleased when it comes to these things. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great show. My one complaint is I really just don't think Trevor Noah is that funny.
I am so happy you fucking said that, Fran, because I was
like,
even to say
like
it,
if I'm not laughing, that's when you know.
I didn't want to say it because I thought that you loved Trevor Noah. No. Because you reported when you said that you reported Kanye, it was like because he started going after, yes, Trevor Noah and all that.
Well, I do like that. Trevor Noah. I do like Trevor Noah, and there are times when I do think he is funny when he's like on his own show. But for some reason, when he does award shows, it's like the cheesiest shit ever. I don't know who writes it or like what's going on, but it's never funny.
I think he's one of the least funny people on TV. Like, I don't think he's funny at all. I think everything he says is so cheesy. And then he laughs at himself. And I'm like, you're not funny. Or, I mean, yeah, some people find you funny. So maybe you are to some people, but you are not funny to me at all. So I agree with you. Yesterday during the day, I was like, wait a second, Trevor Noah is hosting the Grammys. Boo, boring. Like, oh,
I know.
This is going to be so like PG, which is, I mean, it's the Grammys, I guess, but why Trevor Noah?
Yeah. I don't know. It's,
and you know what bothered me?
What?
I saw a video of Trevor Noah after the Oscars after party. And he's like, you know, with Will Smith, like, laughing up a storm, taking a bunch of pictures. And I feel like Trevor Noah would be the type to like get mad at Will Smith. But then he's like also like posing for all these pictures of him and being like, ha, Will Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I agree. I think that there was a, I don't know. I just think like, thankfully, and the one good point he had, you know, it was like, this is going to be a performance show where we hand out some awards. It's like, yeah, that sounds about right. I love all the performances. I think everyone's great. I liked Olivia Rodrigo's performance. I feel like she maybe was a little nervous, which is fair. I mean, it's the Grammys. So I could feel like maybe there was a little bit of nerves. You know who seemed like she had the best night? She didn't win a single award, but she was smiling. She was cheering everyone on. And her performance was one of my favorite ones. Billie Eilish.
Yeah, Billie Eilish did great. Billie Eilish looked like she was having the time of her life. When Justin Bieber was on stage, and you could just, like, the fangirl comes out of her every time, and it's so funny because she's, like, friends with him at this point. But she looked like she was having a great time.
Yeah, she was just smiling and just seemed like she was really having fun. And honestly, Happier Than Ever is such a great fucking song. And when she and Phineas were up there rocking out. I was like, yeah, they were like laughing, having fun. There was like some rain looking element. I liked it a lot. And Justin Bieber, this is why I love Justin Bieber, because one, when I see him perform again, it reminds me like why I love Justin Bieber so much. But the commitment he has at award shows, and he's done it many times, of like slowing down his songs, that when they're sung like that and it feels like powerful and it's just him and the piano, but the lyrics are just so funny to be sung that way. It's just like, I got my peaches down in Georgia. I get my weed from California. It's like,
yeah. Sometimes it didn't even sound like he was like saying the word. It sounded like he wanted the crowd to sing it or something.
It was killing me when he's like on the piano. He's like, badass bitch. these lyrics performed in this way are just LOL funny. And I do love that song. But when he slows it down like that, I mean, his voice is great. He always sounds great, but it's just like the actual words he's singing is very funny. And then his commitment to not, he continued to say shit throughout his entire, it was like they had to bleep him every 30 seconds. It was like, he did not censor himself. I didn't realize how many times they say shit in that song.
We have talked about how Justin Bieber is a lyricist.
Yes,
one of the best of our generation. Sing by the fire while we were eating fondue. Like we've talked about this plenty of times now. And it is funny because he is really just so talented. But sometimes the lyrics, you're just like, it's like because the lyrics are so simple is why the songs catch on so well. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's what makes a hit. An easy chorus, something you could sing along to.
Doesn't Yummy feel like 5 years ago at this point?
It really does.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, no, it's just, that's why whenever he strips down those songs, I just laugh because it's great. And those songs are so catchy and good. But when you put them in, when you sing them in that format, it's just funny.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
As far as awards go, I think Silk Sonic was a surprise. I don't think people thought that they were going to come out here and win record and song of the year. I was reading about this and I felt like it made a lot of sense because just like, duh. But because there were so many, it felt like very popular. I'm doubling down on popular, but like very popular pop music in some of these categories, whether it was Olivia, Billy, Justin Bieber, where the vote gets split between all of them. So someone who maybe you didn't expect jumps to the top because that the people who vote for the, you know, the other songs, they all get split. Because even for me, like if I had to vote, like in my mind, I was like, well, I'm either going Olivia Rodrigo or Billie Eilish. And I could, even for me, I was like, oh, I couldn't decide. So I'm thinking, okay, there's probably so many other people that felt the same way. And then it splits the two of them. And then, you know, Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak fly in there. And that's probably what happened with Album of the Year as well, even though, you know, Jon Batiste is extremely, extremely talented and well-deserved, but.
Right. And then when you're talking about Olivia Rodrigo and Billie Eilish, it then just comes down to personal preference. Like I would have went Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like, you know how popular both those songs are, you know how great they are, but who are you going to go with?
I loved what Jon Batiste said when he won Album of the Year. He was just like, you know, I don't really believe that there's like a best of anything in music or in art for the creative arts. He was like, honestly, you know, music, it's subjective. And he said, I feel like you just hope that your music reaches the people that it needs to and touches like the people in that moment, that if you need something like my, you know, like, for example, like one of his songs, it reaches that person and touches them in a way that's different from other people. And I was like, wow, you know, that's very beautiful, because there are so many arguments when it comes down to the Grammys and award shows in general. And it really is so subjective. Like, it really is. There are some people that fucking live and die by certain genres of music that other people hate. And that's just,
yeah,
that's just how it's going to be.
It comes down to personal preference. Like, there's no best. Yep. Your best is different than my best because we like different music.
Yeah.
So it is hard. And I think that people were talking about Justin Bieber didn't win anything.
And Billie Eilish didn't either.
And Billie Eilish didn't, but people were really, really upset about both of those. But everybody loves Billie Eilish and Justin Bieber. Like, it's not like their music wasn't good or wasn't listened to trillions of times by everybody out there. Like, they're still two of the best artists on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. And Olivia Rodrigo won for Best New Artist. She also won Pop Vocal Album, I believe. And
she had to know she was going to get Best New Artist, huh?
Had to. I mean,
like,
there's no way you are fully ignoring all the chatter. And it really felt like leading up to the show, everyone was talking about, like, oh, it's going to be Olivia Rodrigo's night. Like, it's going to be her night. So I'm sure she had some expectations, but you, like, once it's actually happening, it's probably a total out of body experience.
Also, like, wasn't Phineas nominated for Best New Artist, where it's like,
he's not Phineas really, was.
It's like, in reality, like, everyone knows him, you know?
I mean, Best New Artist is one of the weirdest categories, because it's really not like, it's like best artist that people have learned about this year. Like, like, some are new and we are learning about them as they have started, but then there are some that have been in the game for quite some time, but we're all just learning about them this year. And therefore they qualify for Best New Artist.
And that's usually the case, because you don't just have somebody jump onto the scene. I mean, Olivia Rodrigo kind of was really just new, because she's so young. Like, it wouldn't have been possible for Olivia Rodrigo to be around that long. But all these other artists that win usually are around for a little while before they get recognized.
I mean, Glass Animals, I wanted to Google it to make sure, but Glass Animals was nominated in the Best New Artist category. Their band was formed in 2010. So, you know, they've been at this for a while, but this past year is when they had a song blow up and everyone really, like, learned about them more than, you know, I would assume, like, the fans that have known them from the beginning. And they got a Best New Artist nomination.
Besides all of the awards, there's one video that I keep watching, which is just perverted of me, but it's Jack Harlow and Lil Nas X performing on stage. And you know when they used to do the claps?
Yeah.
Like, their songs, like,
yeah.
They took the microphones and just swung them like it was their dicks. And I've watched the video at least 40 times. Creative of them.
Do we like Jack Harlow?
Oh, I like Jack Harlow a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, God, I want Jack Harlow to have my babies. Like, I'm not that level of fandom for Jack Harlow. Like, some people really love Jack Harlow.
Yeah.
I like him. I like his music, but I'm not like dying for Jack Harlow.
I think my favorite part of, I mean, I always love the performances, like her and Lenny Kravitz and Travis Barker were so cool.
Lenny Kravitz is like aging backwards.
Lenny Kravitz and my mom are like 3 weeks apart, because I was like Googling. I was like, how old is Lenny Kravitz?
I thought you were going to say that Lenny Kravitz and your mom like know each other.
That would be that would be a crazy thing to just share right now.
Yeah.
And I texted her because she was watching and I was like, oh, mom, like you guys are just a few weeks apart. And she was like, what? No, he can't be my age. And I was like, no, no, same year, mom, same exact year. The guy just looks so freaking good still.
He looks awesome. Like he really just looks like he's aging backwards.
I know. I know. It is pretty crazy.
Three just really cool people performing together.
Yeah. I loved, and like the opposite end of the spectrum. I loved BTS. I just, something about BTS just makes me smile.
We love BTS.
I really do love BTS.
No, we love BTS. Of course we do.
I thought that intro was pretty sick. I'm not going to lie. Like,
I know. I did.
So dramatic.
I did too. It's like a whole performance.
They crack me up.
Like, make me laugh. Like, I really think they're all so funny. And it was such a, like, Butter is an extremely catchy song. I forgot we're talking about awards. Doja Cat almost completely missed her award. Like, she went to go pee and they announced her award. And
so you think that
she
was
really
like,
almost missed it?
That wasn't planned on her part of like, oh, this will be funny if I'm like running back.
No, I don't think you want to be running back while you're about to win an award.
Yeah.
Somebody should have told her that it was coming up, though.
Trevor Noah tried to claim that he did after. He was like, I saw her running in the bathroom and was like, isn't your award coming up? So she and
when you got to go, you got to go.
She and SZA won their award. She was on crutches. I hope she's okay. I don't know what's happened there. Lady Gaga had to help her with her dress. And Doja Cat got very emotional towards the end. And I don't like, is she really retiring?
No, she always says stuff like that on TikTok and she'll go on Instagram Live and she gets really frustrated with people. And then she'll be like, yeah, I'm retiring. And she's like moody, but she's funny. Like she definitely like makes people laugh. And she one time made a whole song about like Taco Bell and like pizza. I don't know. She's
I do remember that.
She's very funny. So when she said she was retiring, like I think that was just her like frustration. But to see her be so real in that moment was cool because she is always joking around. It does seem like she doesn't take it seriously. Obviously, people have a different way of showing things. You know, she takes it seriously, but her fans are like, they want to see people like be so emotional all the time to believe that they like really care.
Yeah.
But people have like a different way of like showing that they care about things. I think that is Doja Cat.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense. I had two tearful moments of the night. One was Lady Gaga performing because she's just unbelievable and can do it all. And the videos of her and Tony Bennett playing in the back, like it felt like it was an in memoriam to Tony Bennett, even though he's still currently alive. But I understood the idea, like he's not performing anymore. He's 95 years old.
Right.
Battling
when she was like,
Alzheimer's,
we miss you, Tony. I was like,
at the end too, like I didn't realize, but I saw it online, like she like, I guess he would put on the album cover, he put his hand on her shoulder and like she put her own hand on her shoulder.
How did you not notice they had the picture up in the back?
I was on my phone.
Yeah. They had the picture up in the back of the hands for the last minute of the performance.
It's beautiful.
It was beautiful. And then also and I know they fly through it and everyone every year always complains that the actual in memoriam is either too long or too short, or, you know, there's always complaints about it, but the combined musical theater performance that they sang, the songs that they sang during the in memoriam, unbelievable. I would just like to say, I would like somehow to get that whole thing on Spotify if possible. I fucking love musicals. And they're all so talented. Rachel, the girl who's just in West Side Story, her voice is insane. Insane. And Cynthia Erivo, I'm so excited for her to be in Wicked. Oh, it's just... when they all started...
Oh, it's just splendid.
I mean, when they just kept adding people. Like, they just kept adding people to the song. And every time I was like, I didn't want to be pumped because it's the in memoriam and it was sad, but I was like, oh yes, here I'm like, here comes Leslie Odom Jr. Yes. Because like, but yeah, I thought that was
that's how they make the in memoriam less sad, is they throw in really great people.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, I didn't have, what did you think about the, they really only announced one rap category during the show. And it was Baby Keem. I don't know who that is.
It always confuses me when they announce like really big awards before the show.
Yeah.
Right. Like Tyler, the Creator won, but you didn't see that on the show. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe like he said he wasn't going to go or something. And so
with the Grammys and rap, like I never really agree.
Do
you not agree with him winning?
No, to Tyler, the Creator. I did. But I'm saying in general, like the past years when, who was it? Like, did Cardi B, who beat out Travis Scott and I forgot what year it was where it
remember
was
when
like
Macklemore beat Kendrick Lamar.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that was another one. Macklemore beat Kendrick Lamar, which does that happen? That was one year. And then Travis Scott lost. He lost to Cardi B at the Grammys, but I think it was so shocking because I really think that Travis Scott's.
That was album, in the documentary, I think, in his own documentary.
Like, I think it was, I guess that's not that shocking now that I'm looking back on it. Like, Travis Scott losing to Cardi B, like, I guess in some way that makes sense. But I think it was because
a lot of people thought last night the award that was announced was going to be Cardi and Meg Thee Stallion.
Yeah. I thought it was somebody else who Travis Scott lost to. Him losing to Cardi B, I guess, is not that shocking at all.
Cardi B had quite a little Twitter situation last night. I guess she didn't go to the Grammys and her fans were upset. And then she just like started going off on people Twitter and the fan. Like it was tough night for Cardi B on the Twitter.
Yeah, she was not having it. And then I think she also pissed off her fans because she was not being nice to them either.
Yeah. Yeah. Kanye was nominated for a bunch of stuff. He wasn't there. There was rumors that he was disinvited. There's also rumors that he told Kim that he's like going away, quote unquote. But his new Jason Lee is now like spokesperson of Kanye. The Hollywood Unlocked guy.
Yeah, it's so strange.
And like on Friday, that report came out and then Jason Lee put out a statement that said that wasn't true. And it just made me laugh. It was like, I got to find what exactly it said. Because it was like any stories that come out that aren't from me are lies. I was like, wait, what? He said, so someone spoke to Page Six and said that he was going away to get help. And then Jason Lee said, EA monitors all headlines pertaining to him and his family daily. Most are all being fed to media by, quote, sources close to the Kardashians, which have been creating a false narrative that not only is untrue, but further compromises his goal of creating a healthy environment for the beautiful children he shares with Kim. He's been focused on taking care of himself, being a present, loving father and a creative genius well before all the false headlines we've seen as recent. He added, if you don't hear it from his mouth, read it from his social media, or get it from a press release he approved, it's simply false. It's like, oh, if it's not coming directly from Kanye, it's false.
Sure. Like, yeah, there's going to be ways that people find things out about Kanye that don't come directly from Kanye.
Right. Or also, like something that is true to Kim might not be Drew DeConte.
Yeah. Yep.
And Kanye won a Grammy last night with Jay-Z.
I think he might have won more than one.
Yeah, him and Kanye. He definitely won one for their song Jail.
He definitely won one. Which is
a throwback for Jay-Z and Kanye to win together.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think. Was there any other moments? Anything else that we want to mention?
No, I think that about covers it. I don't really think there were any huge moments that we missed. I think it was just like a well put together show.
Yeah, it was. It was, and I also loved that it started on time and ended on time.
That's always a beautiful thing with award shows, and I'm sure the people there were happy with that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think that pretty much sums it up for the Grammys.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, everyone, we are here with a very special guest who has been on this show before, but it's been quite some time.
Yeah.
He's back. We're here with Craig Conover. I did it. I got the last
name. For some reason, Conover is
It's a problem
tough.
For me. It's a tough
it's like
word
too,
for me.
Like American for you or something.
It's just like too to the point. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It used to be Von Koevenhoven. It was a Dutch name.
Oh, there you go.
And then it got chopped down.
Von Koevenhoven. That's almost easier for me to say. But he's here from Bravo's Southern Charm, Winter House, a little bit of Summer House. He's all the houses. And he's got a new book out. Pillow Talk, we got it right here.
Damn.
I feel like we're one of those official late night
talk
shows
when we get the books
in front of us.
You're very Andy right now. Yeah, very Andy Cohen.
Right? That's what we try to dream.
Well, thanks, girls, for having me. Look, it's always a pleasure to be here. I was telling my publicist, I was stuck on the plane for like an hour and a half before this. We were on the tarmac at LaGuardia. And I was like, fuck, the only interview I actually care about doing is Chicks in the Office. And I'm going to miss it. So
such an honor.
We would have changed the whole day to make sure that you could be here. We did actually tease a little bit that you were coming, and we did say Austin was coming too, but Austin's not here, so
do you want to put a statement out for your friend?
I think Austin's statement would read a little like, I took a later flight than Craig, even though on my story, he's sitting right next to me on the plane. But Austin's recuperating, and he's in a good place right now. We've had two stops on our tour, and the crowd was great, but I think, you know, and maybe in a few more weeks
being rehashed.
Yeah. Summer House took a toll on a few people this year. Yeah.
Did a number on Austin.
Yeah. I mean, I told him, I was like, look, I didn't have the greatest beginning of Summer House either. And, I mean, to the point where I just stopped looking at the internet altogether. But then, you know, you always come out of it.
I will say there is an advantage to having some bad moments, but then you have the relationship that everyone really loves, like publicly. Like, I feel like people love you and Paige. So it's like, well, guys, Paige and Craig, we love them.
Yeah,
so it's like, all
clearly
okay.
Fine.
Like, it all worked out in the end, and Austin doesn't quite have that. Like, it's there's no
redemption. Yeah,
it hasn't come yet.
He's working on the redemption.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The redemption is a work in progress.
Why the fuck did we go on this Summer House show?
We had
a good thing going with Southern Charm.
We were great. My Q scores were through the roof. Like, my I was like the sweetheart of Bravo. And then overnight, it was just like, fuck Craig Conover. And I was why? Because, I mean, originally we were like, they were like, come hang out with your Winter House like co-stars, and it'll be a fun like reunion, and things turned dark quickly. But I mean, look, our cameras go down, they've never been on past 10 o'clock like on Southern Charm, so we don't have to really watch ourselves that much. I just don't think Austin and I should ever do surveillance shows again, but we did just film Winter House again. And Austin decided to start taking Ambien right before Winter House, and like, this is actually something funny that you guys are going to watch. So like the last 2 hours of the night, he would just like wander into someone's bedroom and tell them all his secrets.
Oh my god.
And like the third day, he's like, Craig, was I with you last night? And I was like, yeah, man, like you said everything. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, dude, do you not remember? And he's like, no, I started taking Ambien before we came to this house. God. And I was like, that's not the medicine that you should be taking. Yeah, yeah.
So I almost feel like it might be a turnaround for him because people will be like, all right, now this guy's just telling us everything. Like instead of hiding things, we just know everything about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I guess, a truth serum. I've never taken it, but like the audience last night was all, they said, apparently you can like shop, like order a bunch of stuff online and then you black out on Ambien.
Oh my Lord. Yeah. Jeez. So you guys are so busy because yes, one, you're on all these shows. You guys are on tour. You and Austin are on tour right now. And your book is out where, you know, everyone can buy it, listen to it. Did you do did you have to read it out loud for the audio?
Yeah, we did the audio book and actually Paige read the credits. So it's like a little bit of an Easter egg. And she's like, brought to you by Simon & Schuster. This is Pillow Talk by Craig Gonover. Yeah, but the audiobook was cool. I didn't realize that you could put, like, actually tell the story, like, your own way with it. I thought it was a little more monotone when I'd heard books in the past. Mm-hmm. So, like, I guess Bo read Stassi's credits, too. So, like, they're starting to make them a little more entertaining.
Yeah, a little more interactive. Yeah. And that's awesome.
Did you enjoy doing the audio part? I see people complain about that all the time. They're like, how many times am I going to re-say this one sentence?
It's like, I already had to write it. Now I got to read it all out loud.
Yeah, Shep, like, complained about it. I enjoyed it. It was fun. You do figure out like the words that you don't know how to say though, and they like have you do it over and over. But it took 4 days. I mean, there were four-hour days. But it was fun. I mean, look, the whole process has been a giant therapy session, and just like looking in the mirror and being like, yeah, you can either like, I don't know. It wasn't basically what happened was like, just like our podcast. Sometimes you're like, hey, Craig, like just tell the writer everything, and at the end we can like take some out.
Right. Yeah.
And fortunately, that's what I did. And I was just completely open, completely transparent. And we ended up just leaving most of it in. You know?
I was going to say, did you lie at all in this book?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, unfortunately.
I feel like if I was writing a book, I'd probably lie a little bit in it just to make it a little bit more exciting.
Well, today's detectives are so good online.
That's true. You can't.
So Naomi interviewed for the book because I was like, look. Because basically I was telling our story and I was like, I don't know if this is like appropriate to tell without her input. So fortunately, like she interviewed for it. My buddy Corey did and a few other people. So I wasn't as nervous with it coming out because.
Yeah, that's actually very smart because I do think so many people write books and they're like, well, this is my side of a relationship. There's two people in a relationship.
Yeah.
Naomi's could be totally different. The truth is like somewhere in the middle.
Right.
So and I we've think that's had a smart strategy.
A ton of reality stars on our show with books come out and they'll say on our podcast, like, no, I haven't talked to anybody. Like, we'll see what happens when it comes out. And I'm like, okay, yeah, good luck with that. And it never turns out well. We always see it in the news like a couple days later, like so-and-so just found out what they said in this book. And you're like.
Like, that's wild to me. Because my writer was actually like, Blake was awesome. And he was very surprised to hear that our stories actually matched up. He was like, actually, her story is the same as your. I mean, to a point, like the whole goal of this wasn't to tell people what actually happened and be like, this It was. This is what also happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we only filmed for 4 months of the year. This is what happened the other eight. And so that there was a delicate balance there because obviously you don't always agree with producers or whatever happened, but it's the world we live in and you just kind of have to suck it up. And so the network gave me an incredible amount of leeway because we actually talk about the casting process for Southern Charm in the book.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
They've
it's
never
very
really.
Interesting.
Yeah. And people always ask us, how did you get on the show? Did you try out? Like, what was it? And so they allowed me to talk about it, which was cool.
Yeah, I thought that it was interesting that Naomi was like originally thought to be on the show and she didn't want to do it, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's, yeah.
When did you start writing this?
Like, it was Halloween of. Not this past Halloween. So October.
So 2020.
So when you had to talk to Naomi about what was going on in this book, were you with Paige?
Like, no,
because I was going to say, how did that conversation go down? Like, I'm going to have to talk to her to then talk about
now
this.
Now Paige is going to be on Southern Charm a little bit, right? For the next season.
So, well, with the book part, the timing just worked out incredibly because it was right when her and Matul had broken up. And which was a whole crazy other thing. And so she had reached out to me and she kind of just came clean about everything, which it was really nice for me because, even though you think you know something, sometimes you feel crazy. And you're just like, how am I like seeing this totally different than everyone else? And so she just kind of came clean. It was really sweet. You know, and I was like, look, Naomi, it's the same thing I tell people that come into the store. Like, if it wasn't for our breakup and everything, I wouldn't have Sewing Down South.
Yeah.
And she even was like, no, you would have, Craig. She's like, you always saw it. I just didn't. Like, she said some really sweet stuff. So we were in a really good place. And I was like, hey, do you mind like talking to my writer? And they ended up talking for a couple hours. So that timing was great. But then, you know, a couple months later, me and Paige started dating. It wasn't. It just didn't make sense to have her in the book yet, though. I mean, we'd only been dating for like a month or two when we finished this.
There's no way, as a young person, there's no way to write a book about your life and not like pick a part to end at, you know? Because you're living.
Yes.
You can always add more to the book because there's always going on and more to say. Like, you kind of always have to have like, and this is where we're going to end it.
Yeah.
Because or else, like, you would just have more to write.
Yeah, and then I feel like it wouldn't be, like, natural. Like, you would be throwing her in at the end in a way that's just like, let me just throw her in at the end.
Right, but exactly. Yeah. So, like, I got her picture chapter. In there. Yeah. But,
yes, I saw that.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe in, like, the next one, if there is, you know, that's basically where this story ends is when me and Paige start to date. But then, yeah, you get to see some crazy shit stuff on Southern Charm this year because Paige is there, and it's a whole different kind of way of filming the way we do our show. And, like, there's a lot of ex-girlfriends around. There's a lot of, like, ex... Like, it's just a crazy... Like, Charleston's such an incestuous place.
Yeah.
Like, I would not be able to handle that.
Like, Craig, I don't ever see my exes. She's like, I live in New York City. I don't see my exes. And you guys are, like, at dinner parties together. Yeah. Like, it's kind of wild.
Right. Yeah, that is really funny. And it is... I guess I never really thought about how different those two shows are in just the way you guys make them. You know, Summer House is very condensed. They all live in the same house.
And it's only on weekends, really, right? Like Thursday to Sunday.
And for you guys, like, you can go home and not see these people.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're there for like an hour or two. And then you get to go home. Like, there's no escaping
and every day
it with theirs.
Filming. Yeah. Like, what's the schedule like for Southern
Charm? So we were dark Sunday and Mondays. Tuesday and Wednesdays are for like rehashing this. So Saturdays are the group party.
Yeah.
So Tuesday and Wednesday is like rehashing what happened and gossiping.
Like, every Saturday be like another group party.
Yeah. And like, and you know you're going to fight people. Like Thursday and Friday.
It's battle time.
It's war, basically. Yeah. So Thursday and Friday are always like, well, do you think she's going to be there? Do you think he's going to be there? Yeah. Like, are you actually going to talk to Shep or, you know, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Like, do you think Madison's going to come? Like, do you think they invited her?
A lot of phone calls.
Yeah. And so, yeah, a lot of phone calls. And then you show up Saturday and you're like, all right, here we go. And it's kind of like, a royal rumble, I guess.
Yeah. And who plans these Saturday gatherings?
Well, we do, of course. Yeah.
Yes. That was a silly question by me.
I mean, we filmed for a couple months, and I think you get a little more story to be told, which is exciting. And I really hope that they show, you know, more of Paige and I's story because, you know, apparently, like, they cut most of our dates out this summer, which whatever, it's fun. Like, they, you know, they don't have time to show like a happy, fun day.
You're like, why did the camera have to be there for that date?
They cut legitimate cast members out of episodes. So they may not have time.
The fact that they cut our first date is crazy to me. Like, they actually got to film me and Paige's first date in New York, and
they were like, no, Craig's an asshole. He doesn't take Paige on dates.
Wait, we want people to hate Craig.
Yeah.
So hopefully, like, we filmed a really cute scene with my parents this fall, and hopefully you get to see some more me and
Paige.
She
actually
stuff.
Met the parents.
Yes, yeah. Finally.
That is funny. That was like the last last scene that we've saw with you guys too on Summer House was you like asking her to go to Delaware, but then her be like, you want me to meet your parents? You're like, whoa.
You're like, you're just coming to my
house. You're coming to my house. My parents might just happen to be there.
I was watching it at my desk, and I turned to Fran, and I was like, this fucking guy. Yeah. Like, I was like, she's meeting his parents. Yeah. Like, he just doesn't want to admit it. She's meeting the parents.
I mean, sometimes you hear the things that you say, and you're just like, what was I possibly thinking in that moment?
I feel like you could tell you were being... like stupid there though, like, and you like, you looked at Paige, you guys looked at each other and you were laughing. I was like, he knows what he's talking about
here. I mean, Amanda pulled me aside on the beach, I don't know if they showed it, and she like red, like black and white to me and was like, Craig, she can't come to your house and meet your parents if you're not officially like dating yet. And I was like, okay, these are all pretty valid.
Yeah, this is a girl I'm hooking up with, mom and dad.
Yeah. Well, that's what they were like. Yeah. Paige is like, well, how are you going to introduce me?
Yeah.
And so that was one of like, you know, you get to a point, like people ask us, I wish they kind of showed it in a more positive way because we did have a non-traditional start to our relationship. And I think like, and we're in an extremely healthy place now. And I wanted people to see that like, you don't have to do things like everyone else all the time.
Yeah, people didn't agree with it, but it did feel like you guys, you guys were communicating about it.
Right.
Which I think like, if that works, then it works.
And also in some way, like, I feel like some relationships, they start off perfect. It's like the two people are talking. Oh, it's great. Then they're dating and it's boom. Yeah. And it's like, but if you have some of those little conversations in the beginning and a few problems here and there in the beginning, then it's like, and then you get to this place, then you know you can get through fights during the relationship. Right. It's not
you
just
guys
like
don't have
picture
normal
perfect.
Lives.
It's, well, it was a bizarre start. But I mean, look, I had just gotten out of like a 10-month relationship. And I really needed, I mean, it sounds cliche, but I needed to like find myself again and be by myself. The thing is Paige and I, it's just chemistry started 3 years ago when we met. Mm-hmm. And neither of us had ever been single at the same time as the other. And, you know, like there was only so much time we could spend apart. So eventually she visited in Charleston and then we started to see each other. But again, I was newly out of a relationship and she lived in New York. And so what was cool is we finally got to a point where you're like, I don't want to see anyone else. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even like, I don't want you to see anyone else. It's like, I have no desire to like see anyone else.
Yeah.
And I remember texting her that and she's like, I don't either, idiot. Like, yeah. Because I think she was getting to a point where she was like, look, Craig, like you can live your life if you want, but like, if we're not going to commit to each other, then I'm just not going to be in your life. And like you're like, okay, yeah, I know. I'm gonna stop doing anything else, and I want to be with you. So.
How many pillows does she have?
Well, so they don't really fit her aesthetic yet. So
until you make a
collab, yes, and so she's gonna do that this fall, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, that'll be awesome!
Black and white like pillows, and they'll be called like, you know, lipstick, heels.
Yeah, amazing.
Skirt.
We'll buy those.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll send you guys up the black and white Paige collection. Yeah.
Yes. No, I have an aunt who she's got her house down the shore, Avalon.
Yeah.
And she's been to your store a couple times in Charleston.
That's cool.
She's a big Bravo fan. And she has a few of the pillows in the house in Avalon.
I
I'm like,
that.
Oh, that's a... know that one.
Yeah, that's selling
down south. That's a passion right there.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it was
I mean,
just
I really loved reading about
did you
like,
read
yes,
some of the book?
I really did.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
I will say like when we have people who come in for the book, I am become an expert skimmer.
Yeah.
Where I feel like I get all the good pieces. And
he is like opening it for the first time. Yeah, I can tell by like you went right to the pictures.
Also, one of us enjoys reading, and one of us doesn't.
I like picture books, clearly.
But then when I catch something where I'm like, "Ooh, this is I really am curious about this," I'll read about it. So because like we always see the brand, you see the store on the show and things like that, but you don't really hear every behind the scenes detail of how you started it all,
right?
And it gives you a little bit more credit, I think, because people joke about they joke about the law, you being a lawyer. They joke about the pillows. Like
when,
it's all legit.
Yeah.
It's legit.
I think the last time you came in here was like you may it might have been the start of the pillows or the start of the lawyer.
When did the store first open?
So the store was May 15th of last year.
Okay, yeah.
So I wasn't here. I was here probably when, so today is actually our 3-year anniversary for Sewing Down South.
Yeah.
Because we launched it on April 1st as like a joke and a middle finger to everyone because they're like, is he actually starting this finally? Yeah.
You know the message.
I'm going to the message.
What was the date of the message?
May 27th, 2019.
Oh, wow. It has been a while, girls.
Yeah. Wow.
What have we been doing?
I know. Well, there was a pandemic.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
And there's some people that... we love having in person. Mm-hmm. And when like Zoom stuff would come up, we'd be like, oh, it's just, it's yeah. like, it's just, so much, it's so much more fun in person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were on that list of like, wait, oh, cool. Craig is so fun. We'd much rather have him in person.
Well, now I'm here pretty much every week. So yeah. if you guys are ever bored, just like, Craig, come by the studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us stuff you're not supposed to tell us about these yeah, shows.
We love getting people in trouble on this yeah. show. What's your like schedule like with Paige? Obviously, do you guys like, go back and forth, or are you in New York all the time? You said you're I know, here every I feel week like now, but
Andy always loves those questions. Yeah, too. I mean, you guys were just on Watch Rabbit's Live together,
and like that's all they ask us with right. like on whatever
who's
house
moving,
and stuff.
Who's going yeah. here, who's going.
And you're like, well, we're in a fortunate spot; we don't have to. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
we've got airports real close to our house, and we can, you know, that it's an hour flight.
It's also very quick to move in together, and you want to be with that person all the time, but you also don't want to move in together just because
right. everyone else
it would
is.
Be like convenient.
Look, yeah. I will say that we really, really enjoyed long distance for a long time, and Paige like is not quiet about that. She's like, yeah. look, we do 4 days on and 4 days off, and when we were together, I felt a lot more present because like yeah. we enjoyed that, you know, cherish that time. And then I got to go like go to my apartment and watch my shows and like, you know, yep. do whatever mm-hmm. the heck I want. But fortunately, Winter House was the longest we've ever spent together, and we actually came out of it being like, wait, I don't really want to do like the 4 days off part of yeah. this anymore, because like
wait, we like to be together, you know, all
like
the
we
time.
Kind of like yeah. each other. So she's gonna come down for like May and June in Charleston. I mean, she's just got such a busy schedule now, which is mm-hmm. great, but I'll like fly up for a night or two and we'll like watch 90 Day Fiance and order a bunch of weird food because New York to me is like hilarious. Like we ordered a crab boil last week, which is the most bizarre thing in the world. Yeah. But like we just here, I guess you guys know it because you live here, but you can get whatever you want whenever you want it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Literally until 4
so we watch like 90 Day Fiance and then I fly back and do my stuff. But the schedule kind of works. But now, I mean, I am kind of here every week. So
yeah. Well, that's nice. We're also always here, so
yeah. you guys want
to
hang
now,
out?
Now I'm starting to figure out like the boroughs and how to. I mean, yeah. I should have someone with a camera follow me around the city because I get so lost here. I was lost in Chinatown the other day. And I didn't even know how I got there.
I sometimes like get turned around when I'm like down in Tribeca, where I'm like, I should know where I am, and why do I not know?
The problem is I Uber everywhere,
right?
So yeah, it's like I gotta like walk around. I know the city pretty well, though.
Yeah,
I would say.
Have you been to Chinese Tuxedo?
No.
It's my like favorite restaurant in the city now. No. You should try it. It's
Where
awesome.
Is it?
It's in Chinatown, which is why I was lost in Chinatown. Yeah. But it's like it's an
Did
old
Did you go alone?
No. I got there alone. I don't know how I ended up alone, but I was with Paige. So it's an old Chinese theater from like the 20s. And it's just like incredible
really
food, and it's like a Lazy Susan table,
oh,
so
that.
It's all share plates, and there's a tiki bar was downstairs, like a fancy tiki bar.
Chinese Tuxedo?
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. I go to dinner all the time. Yeah. I'm a big dinner person.
Maybe and you love when you love, the, yeah. you love the tables
maybe
with the Lazy
Paige
Susan.
Maybe Paige and I will take you.
We would love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we'll do a double date.
Chinese Tuxedo, yeah. yes.
We'll do a double date. Yes,
yes with us.
Okay.
Yeah, with just us. You also have some fairly, you know, you touch on a lot of serious stuff in this book as well. And I don't know if everyone really knew your relationship with Adderall, which yeah. you went pretty in depth with in the book. And wow, you were really taking Adderall all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember. It wasn't until the season 6 reunion that like all of these questions were getting peppered at me. And like the answer was because of Adderall. And mm-hmm. I just kept it a secret for so long. And I finally just was like, look, it's because of mm-hmm. this. And like Andy even said during the commercial break or whatever the other night, he was like, yeah, like when you said that, he's like, oh, this makes a lot of sense
yeah.
now. And it's like the irritability and the depression and like all this crazy stuff that comes from like, it's not against Adderall because for, like, obviously I loved it for a long time and it helped me in a lot of places and it can be used for good. But what we're seeing and the responses I've gotten ever since that reunion is that, yeah, it was good in people's lives for a while. Mm-hmm. But now that they don't have a test to study for, it's something that they just can't. They didn't even realize that they
how dependent
yeah. they were on it. And, you know, I've had some like kind of famous people and some successful like athletes and stuff like reach out and be like, hey, this affects my relationship with my wife or my husband and my kids. And like I've never like looked in the mirror until you said it on the reunion. So I was like, fuck it. Like if I can help someone by telling my story, I will. And like. once you're clean, which is such an absurd thing to say about like a pill that a doctor gives you.
Because I was going to say with Adderall, it's like people become addicted to it, but they don't see it as an addiction because it's Adderall or like weed. Like people are like, it's just weed. It's just Adderall. It's like, no, but you can actually become addicted to it.
Like you're taking it as a happy pill now to take your mind off other stuff. And so I was like, look, there's no like shame in it at all. And I just was really open. And like when I read the line that's like, you know, and then I do what every addict's done in history, and I started to hide pills around the house so Naomi wouldn't hear me open the bottle. I was like, Craig, you were way deeper into Adderall than you ever acknowledged. And, you know, it is just one of those things that people don't like them. Like they just don't realize that that might be the source of a lot of the other issues in their life because it's such a temporary fix. And man, is it hard to fucking get off, get off it. But basically, after the Bahamas when I got clean, but then I came back to film the show, I was like, fuck, I can't do a scene without taking Adderall. And then eventually I ran out, and then I kept procrastinating calling my doctor because I didn't have an Adderall to make me call my doctor. Yeah. And eventually, you know, I got a week, 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off, and it just happened. But
so one of those things where it just made you feel like you talked more and were able to,
Whatever. I'll tell you. It, sometimes you have to talk about things you don't fucking care about. Mm. And it was like, you know, it's like Catherine Thomas or something. Yeah, yeah, and you're like, and then I would take my little pink pill and I'd be like, actually, while I have
MLA formatted essay about how I feel about these two.
Yeah.
So I like that was fun to put in the book. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, I haven't read other people's memoirs, like celebrity memoirs, but I think it's a little. I think you get more than what you think you're going to get in the book.
I will say I'm always very pleasantly surprised when I read reality. People who are on reality TV who write books, like, because there's just always more depth to someone than you see on reality TV.
How was Stassi's first book? Was it good? Did you read it?
I liked Stassi's first book.
Don't look at me.
when
it comes to books.
I read Stassi's first book, and Stassi's first book was very funny.
That's good.
I do remember skimming through it though, and I thought it was funny just the way like it was written. I feel like you could feel people's personalities in it, which I like a lot
How
of the
was
times.
It, like, what's the process of, you know, it says Craig Conover with, and I don't want to botch his name, Blake
Dvorak.
Dvorak. Yeah,
I learned that from the audiobook.
Yeah. Like, what's the collab process like?
So it's funny because they're like,
some people don't own up to collab process,
right? And that was
respect.
Because they were like, well, we can like we have to pay, like the payment structure is different if you want to act like you did it by yourself. But I was like, no, I'm not gonna fuck, like I didn't. And I'm not gonna try to convince people that I wrote this fucking book. I mean, like I hate writing, but one thing I do like to do is talk. And so we basically found someone to transcribe my thoughts. And so we had a writer in Charleston to begin with, and it just wasn't like flowing that well, I guess. And so my literary agent was like, I want to bring you up to New York and meet some people. And Blake has like very similar, like Blake's been sober for like 8 years or whatever. So he kind of got my tone about talking about stuff. And so I would get in my car and I would just sync my phone up and I would drive around Charleston like in a loop for an hour and just talk and talk and talk. And that was our process. And then he would take that and then we'd do it like in a couple days. And so, I mean, it took, I guess, like a year to write.
I think it's really great that you just admitted that right there, the fact that they were like, the payment structure is going to be different, because now you realize all the people that are like saying like they wrote a book, and you know for a fact they didn't write it, and you know someone helped. And you're like, oh, they were just greedy and took the other payment plan.
Yeah. Like, well, no, you actually have to pay the writer more to like act like you did it yourself.
Right.
But I was like, these people are professional writers. Like, there's a whole market of it. But
You're still getting your story. And I feel like what Fran said about like feeling more of a personality in depth is like, we also talk a lot about how with reality shows, you're not getting the full edit. It's a 40-minute show compared to 3 days or a full week of filming. Like, you're never going to get the full story. And I feel like people judge based off that all the time. Yeah. And they kind of forget, like, you guys are real human beings. Like, they don't realize. We talked about this yesterday with some bachelor people, that people don't like put themselves in your guys' position ever and are like, well, what if someone followed me around with a camera all the time? Would I look great in a fight? Probably not. Like,
I mean, it's true because, I mean, especially with the backlash with Austin right now, but I mean, whatever, he's, you know, that's one thing, but the people are so cruel about it though. Like, yeah, he fucked up. Like, he's an idiot sometimes, but we all are. And like, you know, like even with me, the fact that it turned so fast. So I went from like being, you know, everyone was like, you know, rooting for Craig and like rooting for Craig and Paige. And then like overnight people were like, kill him. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is really like a video game where you're just like, yeah, they don't, a lot of people unfortunately don't see you as humans. And like, it's like with the, I mean, we won't get into it, but even with like the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing, like when he hit him, like my gut reaction was like good, because in my head, I know it's not a, I know it's,
well, that would have really like, worked on reality TV.
But I'm saying in my gut reaction, I was like, wait, I wish like all the comments that you get, you know, on Instagram and stuff, I was like, you would never say this to someone's face. And like the people recently that have come up and they're like, why'd you block me or something like that? I know exactly. I have a formula for like blocking people. And I'm like, I know exactly what you did. And what you didn't realize is when you liked that person's really nice comment, I went and saw who liked it and I blocked all of you too.
I always do that too. Not even, I'll mute because I'm like, if I block, then they know. But if I will go to a mean comment like that and I'll look at every person who liked it. And sometimes I've caught like people that I went to like high school with. Like I'm like, oh, fuck this person. Right. Like, that person will get blocked.
And then
blocked,
you see like follow back that they're following you and you're like, I hope you realize that this happened. But they always like ask for a picture or like, no, well, we didn't mean it. And you're like, you got it. Like, this hurts people's feelings. Like, people come up all the time and they're like, we love Paige. And they did it at a bar in Vermont. And I was like, go tell her that. Because, like, the positivity in person is really good.
Yeah.
But the liking thing's funny. My mom, I didn't realize, had an Instagram, but she just has ones to follow, like, me and Paige. And she kept liking, like, really bad comments on my Instagram. And, like, they were fucked up comments. And I was like, Mom, like, are you trying to, like, subliminally tell me that you think I have a drinking problem? Or, like, it was all like, Craig looks like an old drunk. And it'd be, like, liked by Marty Conover. And I'd be like, Mom, what the fuck is going on?
And that's, like, also the... Because the Bravo,
but she had no idea what she was.
She was just liking to support.
The picture. Well, she was just hitting the heart because she thought it meant that she liked the picture.
And the Bravo sleuths on the, like, they really dig into everything. Yeah. So like that would become its own story. They'd be like, Craig's mom's like.
Well, that's what I told her. I was like, Mom, you can't do this shit. Yeah. If you have a problem, just text me. And she's
Craig's
like,
mom agrees. Craig has a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was really funny. So I'm like, look, this time, and my dad's like, doesn't even know what's going on, but he's like, you gotta stop clicking the pictures, Marty. You gotta stop. Like, you're gonna get Craig in trouble. And she's like, I just wanna watch like what's going on in your life. Like, you know, aww, they're so sweet.
You're so right though about people who comment something mean and then if you like comment back or you block and they're like, no, wait, I was kidding. Like, that happens all the time.
You're like, don't say it.
I had like a somebody that like
did you see what the girl on Twitter said today about my thumbs?
Yeah, I was fucked
and
up.
And I said, and I wrote back mean, and she just wrote back, big fan though. I'm like, fuck off.
I hate that. I hate the big fan though. I had someone recently that like was like a family friend or whatever, and I saw his Twitter, like he was like writing mean things to the people here, and I was like, I like reached out and was like, and like he's friends with my brother. My brother called him and was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what's going on? And like, I texted him and I was like, you're talking shit. And then he texted me back and was like, wait, you took that seriously? And I was like,
yes.
I was like, yes, like, people here take it seriously.
We're,
like,
we are the exact same as you. Yeah, like, I was like, what do you mean? Different people.
Yeah, like, he was like, I was kidding. I was like, well, they don't know you're kidding, so don't do that.
Did
like,
you write
like,
just kidding at the end? Because if not, we don't know you're
and
kidding.
Then I was like, and then I got him back because I was like, it's really interesting to find what it's like inside the mind of a troll. And he was like, wow, you really think that about me? I was like, I do now. Like,
yeah, because you are. Like, you are. That's the problem. And like, I mean, it is fascinating. Like, I wish I was, I was about to say, I wish I was a better writer. My publishing company's gonna be like, shut up, Craig. No, but I would love to do a thesis on this whole experience one day, because the reality TV like journey, especially now we've been on for almost 9 years, like you get to see like a lot of traits and like
you started people. So young.
I guess I was 23 when the process started.
Like that's,
and
that's
now
crazy.
33, which is, I don't know why I just lied about that. I'm 34. What a weird thing to lie about.
Like, you ever catch yourself lying about something that you
well,
just
it's
do,
because
you're like,
Google
why
has my age wrong. It has me born in 89. And so now I just kind of go with it, even though I was born in 88. And I'm like, how did I get here that I actually care about?
That's like my grandma lies about her
really
age by
you
1 year.
You lie by 1 year. You're like, why did I lie?
My grandma lies about 1 year. And when she turned 80, all of her
Why would you even say that?
She's going to be mad at me about that. When she was turning 75, all of her girlfriends at the club were like, we're going to throw you a birthday, 74. And like my family was just really 80. But my family was like, we want to throw you a big 80th birthday. And she was like, you can't, because all my friends at the club think I'm a year younger.
That's funny.
She's like, good at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't
exactly.
I blocked her age
out
of my
social media noise is so loud. But and it's crazy, like, when the social media noise is loud. And then, like, in Austin's case, I feel like he got a lot of shit from you guys in real life anyway. You know, like, I heard you say, you know, you didn't really talk to Austin after all that shit in Summer House. Like,
He was punished pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
after
getting
that.
Repunished.
And that's what kind of sucks, is that, like, it was 8 months ago, which I would love to see them cut, especially with social media now. There's so many spoilers. Like, everyone already knows what the hell happened, and I would love to see them cut the time between filming and airing. But, yeah, Austin... I mean, look, like, we...
Or even just, like, put out teasers for new seasons, like, faster, so people can be like, oh, look, it looks like good things are happening.
Exactly. Like, he... so I remember, like, getting the text from Paige that weekend, and because he was supposed to go with me before, and he decided not to, and then he decided to go that week. And, like, him and I, like, some stuff happened during the summer, which was just, like, you know, he basically had told people things that were supposed to be like a secret and stuff. And I was just like, dude, I can't trust you anymore. And so you get to see a lot of this on Southern Charm, our like makeup, which it happens like on a bridge, and I like put on a suit to intimidate him. But that's a spoiler. But he was just in a bad place, which that shit happens. I mean, look, as much as people didn't want to address it, like, he was pretty wrecked after his relationship with Madison, and he was trying to figure life out. And, like, yes, he was doing it in a strange way, but at the end of the day, like, he was just lost. And, you know, he spent months and months and months after that making amends with people in his life and, like, bettering himself. And now he's in a really good place, and, you know, all of this comes out, and he has to deal with it all again. So that's the part that you kind of feel bad for.
I said this in our interview with Lindsay, that, like, you can be a good person and then just be bad in relationships and not great with women. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because Austin did this doesn't mean he's, like, the worst person on planet Earth. And I think that's where people get confused. Well,
that's a great point, actually. And I'm probably going to steal that at some point to try to explain to people, because... Yeah, like he
could be a great friend to you,
like,
and a great
yeah, like he's a really good person. He just
really
does dumb stuff.
I have some really good guy friends that I would like not set up with a family member. Yeah. I said that to Lindsay. I was like, I would not set him up with my sister, but I know he's got a good heart, and eventually he'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It's just not happening right now.
Right.
No, and that's exactly the situation. Yeah. Like, he's a good dude. Like, it's why we're friends. I think people get confused. They're like, why do you guys hang out? It's like, I wouldn't be best friends with him if he was, like, a shitty person. Yeah. He's just one of the more self-destructive people
that I know.
If everyone
was perfect in a relationship, you'd have one relationship for your entire life.
Yeah, everybody would be in a relationship.
Be a pretty boring world.
The divorce rate wouldn't be so
Everyone's
high.
Everyone's walking around hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it is true. It's a good point. You know, it's hard to watch when it is 8 months ago, and you now have also filmed two other shows.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And we're
and
like,
you guys
we
know
feel like
what happened.
We're on like
on
a
those
three
shows.
Show delay. It's like, well, they're
gonna get these things out quicker.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're gonna have to figure stuff out, because you're right. We filmed Southern Charm and Winter House.
Yeah,
and like they're not out yet.
Yeah,
and then Summer House was so long ago, and it's airing now, and it's like
we're almost to the summer again.
I'll tell you, like, surviving that with Paige has been incredible, because we realized, like, we don't fight, we don't argue about anything, but like this summer was a little tough, and like she didn't know what was going to happen with us, even though she liked me. She's like, Craig, I don't know like what was going to, like, no one really knows when you're starting to date someone in the beginning. And so we were able to survive, you know, all of that stuff airing, which it wasn't easy. And I wouldn't say like we argued, but it was a kind of like, well, how'd you let a producer like trick you into that? Mm-hmm. A little bit of like frustration. But then we realized like that's the only thing we've ever kind of disagreed on mm-hmm. as TV. And then we were able to be like, okay, like that means we have a pretty great foundation and like, right. like we're on a good start. But yeah, the TV world sometimes is pretty tough.
Yeah. And TV is your guys' job and there's a whole relationship that exists outside of that. Yeah, so yeah. If that's the only problem, then.
Yeah. What's some, when you guys, like you guys just did Watch What Happens Live together. What do you guys, what's the pep talk before you do that? Where it's like, do you have agreements of, don't talk about this. Don't talk about this.
No, that was, so fortunately after when I went into my fourth season of Southern Charm is when I stopped doing all of that. And I was just basically like, you start to get paid enough that you don't care anymore. And you're like, fuck it. I'm just going to be myself.
Yeah.
And that's when things kind of turned around for me, because when I finally started to be completely authentically, you know, who I was, people started to get to see more of me. Mm-hmm. And like, anyway, it started to work out. So with me, I just like with this book, like I'm fully transparent on these shows. And like there's between her and I, there's no talk. Like, that's what's fun about dating someone like such a professional like Paige, is you get to share this world with her. But it's almost like I'm really attracted to her when she's working too, because mm-hmm. I'm like, you're kind of a badass like bitch. And no, I mean, look, there are plenty of people out there that have pep talks and have stuff. But the problem is you're so focused on not saying something that you're kind of a dud and like your personality doesn't come off. So her parents were in the green room and we both had our own green rooms, but I was just in hers. And then I would go in and her dad would just give me shit because he likes to make fun of me. And like Andy comes in and
that's
like
a great relationship.
Yeah.
And that's also like when you know an Italian dad likes you. Yeah. Like if he is, if he's like,
if he's making fun of you.
He's making fun of you, it's from,
oh,
it's
is
from
that
a place
the good side?
Yes, yeah. Yes. We so both have Italian dads.
Okay.
Yes.
So if we hug. Dad, like he, she was like, Craig, I've never seen him shake a hand of my boyfriend and you guys like hug all the time. But the problem
hugging's
is
also very
hugging, and if my dad's not joking around with the person, he's just being nice, like a hello and goodbye, I know he doesn't actually like that.
That's what, so you guys should talk to Paige about that, because she's like, I would know like instantly that my dad was like, I'm never gonna see this guy again. Like, and she's like, he just wouldn't care. But the problem with her dad liking me so much is her mom was like, all right, well, I guess I have to be the one that keeps Craig in check. And so like she throws out these digs sometimes, and I'm like, like when I was there for Thanksgiving, I was talking about how I'm like putting in a hot tub with the pool I'm building. She's like, I thought you wouldn't like hot tubs now. And I was like, did you, like in my head, I was like, is she saying it? And she just,
and you're like, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, I really wouldn't think that you like hot tubs anymore, Craig. And I was like, holy shit, what is happening? And Paige
that's
is like,
so funny.
So Paige is like, so my mom, she's like, my dad dropped the ball and he's already like fallen.
He's gotten soft.
Yeah, so now my mom is going to be the one that, to make sure that you never like slip or, you know, take. You know,
I love that.
Stop trying.
That is great. Well, Craig, thank you so much for coming. Hopefully, maybe, you know, maybe Austin comes next time.
Yeah. Well, you just drag Austin
me
in
and Paige,
here. Don't
me
tell
and
him
Austin.
Where you, don't tell him where you're going.
Right. Just show up to Barstool. Austin, we're going to Barstool. We're going to pop by Ray and Friends.
Real we'll quick.
Wait, I will tell you.
Tell
I just,
him you're doing a pizza review and then he'll actually come and then you're just coming here.
I just saw your lightning bolt though and it reminded me of Harry Potter. Your guys' Harry Potter series was the most entertaining thing ever.
Thanks. Oh, thank you. It was a roller coaster.
Also why I wanted Austin to come too, because I was talking to him a lot. Like he would reply, like he'd send me our videos and
he
be
was
like,
your,
I,
he was
I
your
disagree
meme guy.
With this. He just like started sending me all these Harry Potter memes. I'm like, this is hilarious. But he, I was like, oh, Austin, I really wanted, messaged him before. I was like, sad you're not coming. And he was like, I wanted to talk about Harry Potter. And I said, yeah, we need your official movie ranking. And he was mad. He was like, yeah, you guys have Goblet of Fire way too high.
Yeah, he's Fran's meme guy. Yeah. Like, they only talk in memes.
It is funny.
He did the same thing that you did with Rhea, with me for Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, it started, you know, after we'd podcast and we just drink wine and watch. I'd be like, so what's that? What does that mean? Yeah. Who is that? Mm-hmm. And like, I just learned this whole
and
Harry Potter world.
You end up
world.
Having a lot of dumb questions, and then they get frustrated.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It was always about like the plants or something or spell. And I'd be like, what is that?
Noah
and
he's
like,
always had questions that nobody ever even thought of. Like, no, like you would never think of the question he would have. And she'd be
like
why are you even asking
like,
this?
Like fundamental questions about just
well,
magic.
We didn't read the books.
About, like, if Dumbledore
magic,
had a funeral.
Like magic. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I, I was like, I have no idea.
I thought it was really creative, and I really want to go to Harry Potter World now. So
I think I'm going to Universal.
We actually have a hookup. Like one of Austin and I's really good friends is like the senior VP at Universal.
Okay. Noah went to, he was just in London. He went to the like the full set tour that they have there. It was very cool. So something that I have not been to, but I definitely I will get there. What else? I mean, you guys are on tour right now. You can get tickets to your tour, right? Stops?
Yeah,
when this airs, your New York show will have already happened.
But we've got one in Atlanta coming up. We've got one in Charlotte, two in Florida, and then we'll be doing Texas, you know, later in the summer.
Are you guys doing your podcast throughout all of the tour?
So we're trying. Austin and I's consistency is our biggest, you know, our Achilles heel.
We feel you on that. Yeah. We have also learned that doing the live shows and the podcast is very hard.
We keep like bringing equipment, like our agent and producer, like we'll bring it before the show and they're like, let's just knock out a quick one before the show. I'm like, no, like I'm focused on one thing right now.
Especially if you then can't handle your podcast. When you're on a podcast tour, like you want to save the stuff for the show. You're not going to put it all on the podcast.
I feel like people don't realize, and it sounds so silly because people are like, it's just a podcast. But like your brain reaches a limit of how much you could talk and like entertain. And you're like, I can't.
You can only be on so much.
Yeah, I can't like repeat myself 5 billion times.
Exactly.
And then you're like reactions. Yeah, you can't like rehearse your reactions.
Yeah, and then you tell a joke and you're like, repeating the joke is just not as funny.
So we've got the podcast. We've got Southern Charter will be coming out this summer or this spring. Buy the book, Pillow Talk.
Stay tuned for the next five shows you're going to be on that have already been filmed. Pillow Talk, everywhere.
I'll go right to the pictures page.
Yep.
There you go. Where's
sometimes
the picture?
Sometimes all one on really page. Needs is a sewing machine and passion.
Well, thanks, girls.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Thanks, Craig.
Cool.
Yeah, there it is.
I want to throw, make sure you get that in there.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. Make sure you are subscribing everywhere. Also, all our new merch is on sale. You can go to the link in the description, and tickets to our live shows are also on sale. Go to the link in the description to find those. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Because I'm so